Hey everyone, before we get into today's episode, I want to take a quick second to say thank you to our sponsor. That's right, we have a sponsor, and that is Sawyer Products. If you're a backpacker or a hiker, you're probably already familiar with the Sawyer Squeeze. They have a lot of other really great products for hikers and backpackers as well. Today, I want to talk about the Picaridin Topical Insect Repellent. It comes in a lotion, which is effective up to 14 hours. It comes in a spray, which is effective up to a dozen hours. It's effective against mosquitoes, ticks, and even biting flies. Safe to use on your gear, safe to use on your kids, at least as young as 6 months. That's what it says here. Don't spray your four-month-year-old in the face with this thing because I didn't give you permission to do that. And more importantly, it's not DEET. DEET is a motherfucker on your nervous system. To learn more, head to Sawyer's website at sawyer.com. Okay, to the episode. Episode number 8 of Backpacker Radio. I am your co-host, Zach Badger Davis. And sitting across-ish from me,
not diagonal-ish. Hello, I'm Chance.
Do
I usually say Chance or do I say Juliana Chauncey?
Did I say Juliana?
I don't know. You didn't say anything. But then I said Chance and I was like, what do I usually say?
Well, this is a hiking podcast, so we should probably use our trail names.
I'm here. It's all that matters.
Yeah, it is all, unfortunately, that matters. Chance.
Yes.
You went to Utah recently.
I did. And guess what?
What?
You went the weekend after. Slightly suspicious.
I was going to tell that part of it after just to keep it in order, but go ahead.
I just wanted to call out that fact.
Yeah,
I'm fine. So I went to Utah and then Zach got jealous and copied me. But I went to Moab and camped out.
Say that again?
I went to Moab.
Moab.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it Moab?
Okay. You're outvoted on this one.
Fuck. All right. Well, I went to that place with four letters, and that will not be edited out. Anyway, I went because I was driving out to Salt Lake City, and I figured I would stop on the way and camp out, and then watch the sunrise at Mesa Arch the next morning, which was actually Twinkle's suggestion. I know. I messaged him and I was like, yo, how's the Hey Duke Trail? Also, seeing you spent a lot of time in Canyonlands, what should I do?
He spent a lot of time everywhere.
Right, which is why I asked him.
Yeah.
Anyway, he said Mesa Arch for sunrise. And then I got there and the skies decided to open up and just like flood down a torrential storm while I was camping in my Jeep. So that was a great time. I thought I was going to get blown off a ridge. And the storm.
That's not very Moab-like.
No, and the storm didn't stop in the morning, so I missed the sunrise. But by 11 a.m., I was able to get out and at least go see the arch.
That's nice. Good. How long were you there?
Several hours.
Mm. Well, you're making the most of living.
The goal was Salt Lake, but that was just skiing, so there's less to report on that.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, that's still relevant, but we can pass over it if you don't want to talk about it.
I mean, I skied moderately, adequately.
Okay, That's thrilling conversation.
Yeah.
And like you said, I also went to Utah the week after. I mean, your one photo was so amazing.
What you did is you saw me post photos and you were like, I need to do that too.
Yeah. I'm like, she's in the southeast corner of the state. I need to go to the southwest corner of the state, which is where Zion National Park is.
Yes.
Which is a phenomenal park. I will say it's a little bit overcrowded, mm-hmm. I think is an issue a lot of national parks are dealing with nowadays. I had been to Zion. Or should I say Zoan? I just figured if we're going to...
Zoin?
Zoin. I like that. Zoin NP. So the first night we camped in BLM, which was amazing. Obviously, you can get a campsite out there and be, you know, a mile away from the
closest... BLM?
Bureau of Land Management.
Okay.
More wildernessy than national parks. You don't need a permit. You just roll up. That sort of a deal. And then the second day we went into the park and our goal was to get a permit in the Narrows, which we did. Apparently this time of the year in the spring, we went at the end of March, Easter weekend. It's much easier to get a permit in the Narrows, which are you guys familiar with the Narrows section?
Yeah.
It's much easier to get a permit this time of the year just because like it's almost always flash flood season. Like the river's so crazy high right now. So we rolled the dice a little bit with that. Fortunately, the forecast was good, so the Narrows were open.
We felt good about the risk. We were planning on doing the top to bottom route, which is where you start at the north and then hike through to the south part of the park. We had two vehicles there. We were going to hike through. We got about 5 miles into the hike when the guy...
Wait, you had two vehicles there?
So a group of us drove from Golden, and then another guy drove in from Reno, Nevada.
So you're going to park one at the end and one at the start.
Staging a vehicle.
Pulling another one out of my book, right?
You invented that. Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
We call it a chance.
This trip in the industry. Very suspicious.
Yeah, totally.
Anyway, continue.
We got about 5 miles into this hike when the guy with his car staged at the south end realized that he forgot his keys. So our one-way hike quickly turned into an out and back, but we got to see some amazing terrain. I think we got about 9 or 10 miles into the Narrows. The river's so high this time of the year that you actually have to go in with a dry suit, or you have to go in with a dry suit or a wetsuit, but the river's so cold and the water's so high that you're advised to take a dry suit.
What is the difference between a dry suit and a wetsuit?
So a wetsuit, I believe, I'm not a water sportsman, and I'm sure a guest can probably school me on this conversation.
Is she a water sportsman?
She's in everything.
Oh, okay.
We're going to get into that.
We'll find out.
We're going to get into that. But correct me if I'm wrong, a wetsuit is just like a neoprene outer shell that keeps you warmer when you're wet. Whereas a dry suit actually keeps you dry. It's like an impermeable barrier.
Oh, so you can get wet in a wetsuit, but you stay dry in a dry suit.
Is that right?
Nailed it.
It seems so obvious when you word it that way.
There's just like a red alarm going off in your head saying you sound very dumb right now.
The color red looks red, and the color green looks green.
Yeah, I know. Stoplight theory. Anyways, so yeah, we got about 10 miles into the Narrows. Amazing. If you're going to go, I definitely recommend, if you like to roll the dice a little bit going this time of the year, because we only saw one other group out there, which is, you know, most times of the year, all the permits are booked out months in advance. So it was really, really nice. Definitely, that was my first time sleeping under the stars since the PCT. I was having withdrawal, and it just felt so damn good. Before we get into our interview here, I want to talk a little bit about our bonus episode that we got coming up. Yeah. So for those of you who are patrons, which is
it's more than just one, which last time it was just one.
This is true. We've got many. I think we're up to like 27 now.
I was going to say last time I refreshed is 27.
Which is, I think, the exact dollar amount that we got last month. So we're rich is the moral of the story.
Yes.
But we're going to be doing a bonus episode exclusively for our patrons. This will be a little bit different. Instead of having a guest, we're going to have a lot of beer.
Surprise, it's just us.
I like how we're trying to spin the fact that we don't have a guest into a positive thing.
I think it'll be a positive because we're going to have a lot of beer.
A lot of beer.
We're going to get shamefully drunk, and we're going to record the whole thing on video.
Yep. So this won't be a podcast per se.
So you can like laugh at us. While watching it.
Yeah. And then you'll be able to see my dome and understand why we do a radio show. Is that what this is?
They'll be able to see your radio? What?
The fact when they see how ugly I am,
oh.
They'll be like, oh, yeah, that's a face for radio right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we'll have no patrons because they'll all be like, wow, that's what they look like.
The patrons that will have donated will throw up on themselves.
They'll demand a refund.
Yeah, exactly.
Good.
So if you'd like to throw up on yourself, you can do that at patreon.com/backpackerradio. And we're going to be doing like a FAQ section. We specifically would like questions that have nothing to do with backpacking. The weirder,
that's
the better.
Good, yeah.
I just kind of came up with that.
Yeah,
that
no,
good?
That's good. That's good. Send us questions that have no relevance. We did get a request to talk more about ourselves and how we got from living in New York and Wisconsin to being in Colorado and having hiked long distance trail. (S), depending on which one of us you're talking to.
And you've got an interesting background that I don't even think I fully know, I barely even scratched the surface with it. You like road tripped across the country.
Yeah,
and you're
I lived out of
a
truck for a while.
I'm going to continue to not ask you any questions about that because I'm going to save that for the bonus show.
Fine. I'll refresh my memory on what I did.
We also have a funny story about a run-in with a Mr. Bachelor, but that's a future conversation.
I thought of a funny thing for the bonus episode that had to do with that too, but I'm going to save that as well.
Cool. Well, after hearing this little bit, we're going to get another $27 and then we'll be rolling in it.
And then we can actually pay for the beer we're going to
binge
drink.
And that's a good segue because today's show is being recorded at Wayfinder in Denver, the Santa Fe district. It's a good segue because we're drinking their beer right now. But if you are in the area and you're looking for the best co-working space in the city, we are at it right now. It's
They put cucumbers in their water.
It's true. We are very hipster here.
I feel so refreshed.
Absolutely. It's also a co-op model. So like REI, you get an ownership in the space. So another avenue for me to get rich is what I'm trying to say. Yes. I'm filthy rich pretty much everything I do in life.
Mm-hmm. We are actually sitting on a carpet of money that Zach wove together.
Mm-hmm. And IKEA chairs.
And then we're going to light it on flames after.
Exactly. Okay. Enough of us being awesome. I'd like to jump right into the meat of the show, which is ironic, given her diet. We'll get to that in a second. Juliana, you have a question?
No, I just had to cough. So I wanted to stop talking.
Oh, you can cough. You can cough. We're going to start editing the show a lot less just because it's time consuming and, you know.
All right, from now on.
From now on, starting after that cough. Ready, go. I'm not even, most of the time when I introduce guests, I attempt to do their actual off-trail name. You've got way too many syllables for me to even give that a shot. So we're going to go straight to the trail name this time.
Wait, but I don't even know the off-trail name. Do it.
I'll let our guests deliver it because I will just...
I was going to say, don't give in. Make him butcher it. Go on.
So I'd like to introduce our guest, Dirt Squirrel.
Oh, don't say anything.
This will be a silent podcast from here on out. Genevieve, I actually don't know the rest of it. I just remember because I've seen your driver's license before and I was baffled at how long it was. I'm surprised that they could actually fit it onto your entire license. Her? Because we do weird stuff when we're on the trail.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm Dirt Squirrel or Genevieve. Do you want my last name?
I
kind of do now.
Buzan Dansereau.
Okay, I see why you didn't say it.
Yeah.
Can you say it again?
Buzan Dansereau.
Wow.
That is a lot of fun. I know.
That is fun. Can you say the whole thing together?
Genevieve Buzan Dansereau.
If we have anyone listening to the show that is good at like DJing, like recording things.
Oh, yeah.
Take
that and do a mix up.
I want a mix of just Genevieve's name.
We'll give you a shirt that says,
we'll give you a shout out. And when we make shirts.
Zach hike the AT.
Apparently, that's going to be a first shirt. All right.
You'll get one.
Well, Dirt Squirrel, thanks so much for coming on the show. So let's start off. Let us know your hiking resume.
My resume?
Yes.
Whoa. Okay. I hiked part of the Colorado Trail in 2013 and then thru-hiked it in 2015 and then thru-hiked the PCT in 2017 last year.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And that's where we met. I do want to say that I met you my very first day on trail. Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we were actually not even through hiking at this point because Southbounders have to start at Hart's Pass, hike north 30 miles to touch the border and then come back.
Right.
And I think you were the first person that we like really crossed paths with.
Was it day one or was it day two? I'm trying to figure this out.
I'm pretty sure it's day one.
Okay.
Cause you were hiking in the same direction as us.
Yeah.
I'm almost positive it was day one. And we were like probably 12 miles into the trail, still fresh, you know, obviously 12 miles into it, almost 3,000 mile, whatever, through hike. And we take a break, we're huffing and puffing and coming up from behind us is this how tall are you?
5'5".
Not a huge individual by any means. And she's just booking it down the trail. She stops to have a chat with us, but she's so eager to keep moving that she doesn't even sit down. Like we exchange a couple of niceties and then she's just off. And in that conversation, you had revealed that you were in the middle of like a 35 mile day or something like that.
No, okay. If it was the first day, because my literal first day going southbound, which wasn't even southbound, was like going up to touch the thing and then right. Go back. Well, so I had just gotten done working on Orcas Island. So I had taken the ferry from Orcas to Anacortes and then driven with my uncle to Hart's Pass.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time I got there, I was like, okay, my goal is 20. And so I did 20 the first day. And then the second day, I woke up early and did 40.
Maybe it was the second day. Because yeah. I remember you told us how far you went and all of our jaws just hit the ground. So
yeah. Wait, what?
I think it was the second day I met you. Because I mean, I started hiking really late the first day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Start hiking night and just casually pull the 40 mile a day. This podcast is really just about bruising our egos because
yeah,
we learn how much better hiking everybody else is. Anyways,
but it also wasn't my literal second day, so there's that.
Yeah, but all right. So let's get into this now. So because you had a very circuitous through hike because you originally intended to hike northbound, that didn't happen. So I guess let's fast forward to the point where we do cross paths at Hart's Pass. Tell us, how did that end up happening?
How did we cross paths?
Well, I mean, why did you end up flipping
the trail? Like, okay, so
it's one track. Go ahead.
Sorry, what was your question?
Basically, I want to know how it ended up becoming a flip-flop.
Okay, how did I flip-flop? Well, fully intended on northbounding, hiked the desert continuously, and then part of the way through the desert, met up with a bunch of people who I started hiking a lot with, and then we decided to go ahead and try the Sierra together, and this was like late May, early June, I think, yeah. And then we did 100 miles of the Sierra and decided that we felt unsafe and bailed. And then two of them, so it was six of us total, and two of them decided that they really wanted to finish in Canada. So they flipped up to Oregon and hiked southbound and then flipped back up to Oregon and hiked the rest northbound. And the other four of us went to Los Angeles because that's where Shaggy lives. And we stayed at Shaggy's house. Thanks, Shaggy. And then, so we were supposed to be there for 4 weeks, except for that 2 weeks in, I realized that I could work on Orcas Island, the camp I worked at last summer. So I was like, okay, well, that would set me up to southbound and it would give me work for 2 weeks. And I'm so stir crazy. So I went up there, worked for 2 weeks, and then they started hiking before me. And then I drove to Hart's Pass and started Sogo solo.
So I feel a whole lot better knowing that your second day you were just like, oh, I'll do 40 miles. Now that I know that you at least hiked a lot of the trail before that. Like, that wasn't just your fresh out of the real world getting on trail, decided to do 40 out the gate.
Yeah, and I was determined.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to catch my people.
Right.
So
there's some factors in this that makes it a little less shameful to hear on my end. That's good.
I do want to talk about that because I think your hike is interesting from that standpoint that you hiked the first part of the trail in a very tight-knit group, and then they started the second half of the trail a little bit before you, correct?
Yeah.
Or I guess not the second
4 days.
4 days before
you.
Yeah,
I think.
That can still be a lot.
Yeah, 4 days, like a head start.
It was 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, it's like 100 miles.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's meaningful. Mm-hmm. So I guess if you could break up your hike into two chunks and talk about the social aspect of hiking with a group and then hiking, you know, you weren't solo per se, you were hiking with people, but you know.
Well, the thing is, it's not just like two parts. It's like multiple parts, but you really can't classify it by so, because like I started the trail alone and like loved it and was really reluctant to start hiking with people. Like they were sort of a group before and then I actively like avoided camping near people, you know, like I'd sort of see where they were going to camp and I'd be like, I'm going to go sneak by this boulder because I'm sort of an introvert and like, and then once I finally sort of like committed to hiking with them, that sort of became my new reality. Mm-hmm. And I just sort of felt like I was very much a part of this family and like loved it. And then it was hard because when I was southbounding initially, I was solo, but still in a group mindset. So it was just like this whole other way of exploring solo hiking. Then I hiked a fair amount with Pretty Boy, and then Pretty Boy and I broke up, and I hiked the rest, I would say, solo. Except for this time, I loved it.
It's weird when people have the same trail names, because I knew a Pretty Boy, and there's probably more than one Pretty Boy.
Was he southbounding? I take it
no.
Probably not.
Well, yeah. He was northbounding, and then he got off trail with the girl that he was seeing and went and traveled and then came back. And, like, we saw them later on up the trail, but they were still together.
Definitely there different Pretty Boy.
There must be more than one Pretty Boy.
This Pretty Boy is gay. Is he? Okay.
Oh, that would be a...
That's a giveaway.
Reason to give up or to break up.
Different Pretty Boy.
Yeah.
Okay. So how did you get the trail name Dirt Squirrel?
Okay. First, I was wrestling with Bridge Troll and Poltergeist. and then I chose Poltergeist. Well, it's just because I was sleeping under this bridge and they were like, I like a bridge troll. I was like, oh, that's kind of fun.
Was this Zach and them?
No. This is northbound.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. This was like not even at a mile. Probably like 4 days in, 5 days in. I don't know. Anyway, and then I was Poltergeist for a while because I got into this habit of like, napping at really weird times and like in weird places because I just wanted to be like by myself. So I would, you know, I'd like pass people and then I'd decide to nap and then they'd pass me and wouldn't know it. And so then I'd pass them again later and they're, oh, you're a poltergeist, you know? And then when I started hiking with this new group of people, I was hiking with this guy named Alpo and he was like, you know what? The thing is, poltergeist, you're really just a dirt squirrel. And everyone just like sort of bit onto it. And I mean, I started signing registers for a while, like Poltergeist slash Dirt Squirrel. And then that just faded away. It's a personality thing.
Yeah.
Apparently it's a slang term for uncouth.
Huh.
And I don't know.
I heard there's also variations of the name.
That is the correct response to that question.
Can you elaborate on that?
Did you tell her about the poop?
No, but you're about to.
Zach knows I love a good poop story.
I may have sat in dog shit outside of a Albertsons.
It was an Albertsons, yeah. In South Lake Tahoe, yeah. We had gotten trail magic from a fellow hiker, and he picked us up in his van, drove us to Albertsons, was cooking us a very nice, nutritious, delicious breakfast. And we're all just like waiting by the side of the van for him to finish up cooking breakfast.
And Java's just like, Dirt Squirrel, there's literally poop on your butt. And I was like, what? It's like, don't reach for it.
Yeah. It smeared across the bottom of her wind pants was just the biggest smattering of dog dookie. It was impressive. It was impressive. So from there on out, at least
were you near water or anything? Like,
we went back to the hostel. I sort of like rinsed it out, and then we went back and kept hiking.
Yeah,
at least you could rinse it.
Yeah, I got to give you credit for shaking the trail name Poop Squirrel, because I've been calling you that consistently, but it doesn't really have seemed to have
stuck. My sister loves it.
Yeah? Yeah. Oh, good.
To be fair, like when we met at the Through Hiker meetup thing that the trek has, Zach told me that you were Poop Squirrel from afar. And so today when I looked at our show notes, I got confused when it said interview with Dirt Squirrel, because I was like, wait, thought it was Poop Squirrel. And then I read further and I was like, oh yeah, okay, don't say that.
Dirt Squirrel knows Poop Squirrel. They must be from the same family, the squirrel
the
family.
The squirrel family.
Okay, so you're Poop Squirrel. And Poop Squirrel, is there one particular highlight from your through hike that stands out to you?
I think the most just like raw fun I had was in the desert, because it was, you know, my first like solo through hike. And, mm-hmm. I remember, okay, one of my favorite days hiking was the day that, so I was with my group at this point, and we left, Hikertown. We got to Hikertown, decided that we were just going to like drink beer and hang out there like all day, and then just night hike the aqueduct. And we did. And it was so fun. And there were like a million stars and sort of this very like magical, ethereal, like these white blossoming flowers, because the blossoms were crazy, and like these Joshua trees. They're like borderline delirious because it was midnight at the end, and you just arrive at these like towering windmills and just like these alien beings. Yeah, I don't know. I think that was one of my favorite hikes.
Yeah, Hikertown's a fun place. I liked
it. Said no one ever.
I loved it. When I was there, the guy that owns it, I think his name was Ron. He was up there for the weekend and like told us the story of how Hikertown like became Hikertown. It's actually pretty interesting.
Do you share?
Well, so him and his wife were up there on like a weekend getaway. I guess they had like bought the land expecting to develop it and turn it into like something that made a lot of money, because it was supposed to be that highway got really big and developed. It just never happened. And they were up there for a weekend, and they saw some guy like on the edge of their property doing something, and thought it was a homeless guy. And the wife was like telling the husband, you know, make him go away or something. And I guess it was a hiker, and he was like, I'm going through a dry stretch. I really just need some water. Do you have any water you could give me? And the wife had like a soft spot for it. And she like made her husband install a tap. That way hikers could always come and get water. And it just evolved from there. And eventually Hikertown grew into Hikertown.
Interesting.
But at first they thought that the homeless guy was lying to them, because they started talking to him and asking what he did. And he said he was like a psychologist or something. And they were like, there's no way this homeless guy is a psychologist in the real world, but is here covered in dirt needing water. Like, right. He's totally lying to us.
Yeah.
And then another one came up. That was it. They were having like a cookout when it happened. And they could tell that they wanted food as well as the water. And then they told them they were going through the dry stretch.
They were just casually yogiing the situation?
Yeah. Completely. But so the owner was there and he was telling me about it, because I had accidentally bumped into him because I saw that they had kittens at Hikertown, and I was walking around collecting the kittens.
Obviously.
And he saw me and he was like, he opened the door. He's like, there's more inside. And I was like, yes. So I went inside and like with a ball of cats at my lap, he just started telling me the story.
Do you have this photo?
I didn't get a photo of it.
What?
I have a photo of me and Aiken.
All right, that doesn't do anything for me.
Well, like, it's at Hikertown. It's just they don't have the cluster of kittens.
Yeah, well.
My hands were full.
You dropped the ball. Anyways.
My hands were full.
Your hands were full. That's good. Fair enough. Okay, so that's a good highlight.
Yeah, segue.
Sorry. Any particular low lights?
Oh. Zach actually wrote this as favorite low light. So if you could tell us my your favorite worst point on trail. Mm-hmm.
I think that's a valid way to phrase it because I look back at my low lights endearingly that they build the character. Type 2 fun.
I don't know. It's funny because so I just went back through my journal and was like, I journal every day. And so I just went back and just like skimmed over it. And it's funny because sometimes I'll just be in like a tremendous amount of pain and like very nervous about the next day because this day was so hard. And then the next day is inevitably like, today was so fun. And like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's so true. Especially, I think, you know, on your first long through hike. And I want to interject quickly and say that I like you because you're a very old soul. How old are you?
I'm 23.
23 years old. And she journals every day. She's got a better lexicon than either of us by a lot. You don't really do social media at all. You're a 50-year-old person trapped in a 23-year-old body, and I really respect that about you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So you're in school now, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
What year are you?
I'm a senior mostly because I took off too much time to hike. So I have to come back for 2 months next year, but that's okay.
Yeah. I'm curious, or I guess I'm not curious because I know this, but for people listening, I think it's a good story for you to share how your school has played a role in your backpacking.
Yeah. Okay. So the Colorado Trail, the time that I thru-hiked it, that was on a grant called a Rick Kellogg Expedition Grant. And so they funded me and two of my friends to thru-hike. It's a grant for students to go on expeditions. So that was incredible. And then the PCT I did partially with a venture grant, which is research-based. And so while I was doing that, I was getting research for my thesis.
I wish they told me about that in school.
That's exactly my next question.
Like, how do you apply for that?
Yeah.
Well, both of those are through my school specifically.
Right. How did you find out about them though? Like, how do you find out that your school runs something like that?
Oh man. They advertise it pretty well. And I've been, okay. So especially the Rick Grant, I've been really heavily involved with my school's outdoor program, outdoor ed. So, I think that just like the first time I heard about, you know, an expedition grant. So I was a freshman and I was at like some ORC meeting and they brought it up. And then two of my friends were like, whoa, we should do the Colorado Trail on this grant.
Yeah. I guess maybe that would be like a bigger thing at a school in Colorado than like a state school in New York. So maybe that's like a more West Coast thing.
Although how far were you from the Adirondacks?
I was on Lake Ontario. So like basically Canada.
Mm. Snowy. Yeah.
A couple hours.
Yeah. So, okay, one interesting aspect of your school-funded thru-hike on the Colorado Trail was that it had to be explicitly a wilderness experience, right?
Yeah, so that's one thing. So the Rick Kellogg Expedition Grant has a few guidelines, and that's one of them. It has to have a strong wilderness character, so that means like really avoiding time in towns and, you know, trying to make your resupplies as quick as possible. The other one is that, well, I think it has to be more than, I think it's 14 days or 12. I think it's 14. It has to be longer than a certain amount of time, probably 14 days. And you have to be with someone else. So that's why I didn't try and do the PCT on a writ because I really cared about doing that solo.
Right.
Yeah.
And does the amount that you get for the grant change depend on how long the trail is?
So RIT grant, yes. Venture grant, no, because venture grant doesn't have to be wilderness specific.
Okay.
So, you can travel and do research on a venture grant, but that's more.
Do you know if these sorts of grants exist at a lot of schools or?
I don't know. I know that Whitman has an expedition grant, but that's about all I know. The thing is, I don't know a lot about lots of other colleges. I'm just like,
why would you?
Just in general, I just don't.
Yeah. I don't even know a lot about my college.
Same. We could have had one and I was just like,
yeah, that's
too busy in my sorority.
Yeah. I probably missed the boat on a lot of things like
that.
So the wilderness experience, you didn't get to spend time in town. Do you feel like you missed out on your thru hike because you were just in and out of town?
Okay, so I don't think I missed out because I had a really unique experience.
Right.
Also, it was just like so incredibly different because I wasn't lightweight, you know?
Because they provide all the gear for you, right?
No. I mean, we rented a bunch of stuff from our gear house, but like my backpack was mine and yeah, I don't know. But it was still like fairly, we made like very little effort to be lightweight, you know, we like carried like Thoreau to like read. It was pretty fun. But anyway, that was a totally different, experience. I would love, that being said, I'd love to go back and through hike the Colorado Trail again, but differently. But that's not because I feel like I missed out and want to like correct it. It should be totally different.
Yeah.
Just a new experience.
Yeah. Totally. And also I feel like it would change based on the month.
Right.
So I think it'd be cool to see it in September, right?
Yeah. Yeah. She pointed at me. You guys can't see that because we are internet radio. But that's when Job and I did the bulk of the Colorado Trail starting pretty much in mid-September. He was just coming back from Burning Man. So he was pretty burnt out. But I got to say, I don't know if we just got lucky that year because of the weather, but it was phenomenal. Like the aspens were peak foliage. The weather was, I think we got rained on for like 30 minutes in the entire 300 plus miles we were out there. It was magical. I mean, we did have some cold nights. I think that section between, was it Silverton and Lake City? That's like 12,000 feet at like 40 miles or something like that. I think we got close to like 15 degrees. So it got pretty chilly, but all things considered, it was magical weather. I wouldn't have traded it for anything.
I do have a question that you probably might not know since you went in September, but I got asked this on Instagram today. Someone messaged me and said that they want to start off on the Colorado Trail probably in late May, early June, and they want to know if it's normal for people to bring self-arresting stuff in the Colorado Trail.
Oh, they're looking for that kind of experience.
Yeah. Maybe. Oh, interesting.
Like, do people bring, like, an ice axe? Are there parts where you would need one?
Okay, so let me think about this. So when I thru-hiked it, we started in early July, but when I started it after high school, we started in early June.
Right, because, like, I was telling him, like, I've done the first three segments.
And
it's nothing like that.
Probably depends on the year.
Yeah. I just don't know. Because, like, the first three segments, obviously, like, I've had snow. But it's been, like, you know, flat on both sides, not a ridge or something that you would self-arrest on.
I don't know. I would just check trail conditions. Yeah. But especially after this winter, maybe not.
Okay. So we still don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe. I don't know.
You could probably get some pretty steep exposure at points. Especially it'll be difficult to track the trail, like, at what is it, Georgia Pass, right after Kenosha Pass. I tried to do that hike in June sometime when there was still a lot of snow out there, and I was running low on battery and I didn't have any maps, so I decided to turn back. But it got a little bit sketchy. I wouldn't just rely on following footsteps. But as for self-arresting and steep exposure, I don't know. I'm not qualified to say because there was almost no snow when I went through.
Hmm. Okay. Well, just
check trail conditions.
Yeah. If someone's done it and they know, let me know.
Just
I'm curious now. Yeah, just send me a message.
I want to stay on this program, your grant.
Oh yeah, I do want to know more.
Yeah. So you're now looking to use this grant for a new hike, correct?
Different. Yeah. So like back to so an expedition grant again. Uh-huh. Yeah. So I'm actually super excited because a friend and I just got another expedition grant to hike the Sierra High Route this summer.
Nice.
So yeah. When do you leave?
I think our first day on trail is like August 1st, yeah. But we leave Colorado Springs like a few days before that.
Yeah. It's.
I was going to say, before we go into the Sierra High Route, like, I need to know more about the grant because I've got a few more questions, which is firstly, are you competing against a lot of other people for it?
Okay. So
you keep getting
venture
them.
Grant. Yes. RIT grant. Not really. Right. You just have to, it's a much more extensive grant writing process. You have to have all of your like bailout routes and I don't know, like just like a really clear itinerary and like a food list.
So it's tedious. It's not selective.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't get the grant, it's probably because you are lacking in some area.
Okay. Interesting.
So but really venture grant is pretty competitive.
Yeah, it is.
Like the thing about a RIT grant is that you submit it and then they review them once a year. And if you don't get it, you don't get it. I didn't get the first venture grant that I applied for, but you can apply like every month. So okay. They were like, we're worried about you being a vegan. And I was like, okay. And so then I fixed it and like also other things. And so then I fixed it.
Do people say that to you a lot?
Yeah, sometimes.
We're worried about you being a vegan.
Yeah, actually. Yes.
Interesting. Okay. And how far in advance do you usually have to apply for them?
Oh, man. I don't know what you mean by that. Like there's a deadline.
Like, and if then you want to hike the Sierra High Route in August,
how far in advance would you have to apply for a grant for
it? So they already, they just do it at one set time. So I think ours were due in like early January.
Oh, okay. So there's like one due date.
Yeah.
Got it.
All right. Someone listening to this is in college. They're not sure if their school offers this kind of grant. What would you advise them to do?
Yeah, what's their first step?
Yeah.
Oh man, I don't know.
You're the guru, I know.
Well, see, like I'm saying, like I figured out about it because I was involved in outdoor education. So that might be a place to start. Okay. Just be like, hey, what resources are there are there any funding opportunities?
Do most schools have an outdoor education?
I was gonna say, program? And who would you ask
I think that totally depends. Yeah. A lot of schools do, but they have really different formats depending on where you are.
Gotcha.
Okay. Sometimes it's an actual department. Sometimes it's like a student-run club. Sometimes it doesn't exist.
Probably just value in bringing awareness to the fact that these things exist.
Right.
You guys can hop on the Google machine and figure it out for yourselves.
You'll find me at a college campus walking around to people asking, hey,
can I come back to school, please?
Yeah, do you have
a grant?
I don't know.
Do you have a grant? Like,
do you know Grant?
I think that finding a way to do research, too, is also valid.
Are you doing research while you're on trail?
Not this next time. But I was on the PCT for the other kind of grant, though.
I'm going there now. We're doing it. So you were working on a thesis while you were on the PCT.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Okay, cool. So mostly I'm still working on a thesis. It's not done. I was trying to figure out whether or not there's a relationship between long-distance hiking and environmental behavior.
And?
I don't know, because I'm still working on my thesis.
Yeah. So it would be premature for you to say anything.
Okay. Yes, in some ways, no in others. And I don't know if that sort of balances out. I think basically what I'm going to come to is like, this might have some implications for environmental education where, you know, there are like lots of different frameworks, like what's the goal of environmental education? And I think that like, in addition to teaching people about ecology and like how things work on a basic level, it should also like equip you with skills to like, I don't know, make a difference or like pursue things that are interesting to you. And that requires motivation that I think that a trail can give you that sometimes like a classroom can't. Mm-hmm. And so it'd be cool if we could figure out a way to combine those two things.
Sure. I think for a lot of people, through hiking just gives them that motivation because they realize they would rather die than work a desk job.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a little bit extreme. But
I mean, and that's people. Yeah, people really care a lot more about nature after hiking. That's what I figured out. I mean, that's a given. People talk about that all the time. The question is, though, like, so I'm using this framework from this paper by Hungerford and Volk. And basically, it's like, there are these three sets of variables so they're looking at people who do behave in environmentally responsible ways. And they're like, what do you have in common? And they're like synthesizing a lot of research and they figure out that there are like three sets of variables that make you more likely. And the PCT fulfills areas in all of those where people talk about increasing in all of those. But there are some like key things missing, right? Like it doesn't give you any like formal knowledge about the environment or environmental issues. So you might just like baseline, just like not know what's going on, not know what's wrong. So you like really care, but you don't know quite what about. Or the other thing is that it doesn't really give you like competence in terms of like action strategies. So you're like, oh, I really care, but I don't know what to do with it. But that being said, it increases in areas that I'm not sure that just like learning in a classroom could.
Hmm.
Like people are way personally invested. After talking to them, people seem much more invested and they're committed to like doing something. People say, oh, well, I want to do something for the environment when I go home, you know?
Do you have any speculation as to why that is? Why a thru hike instills them with that sort of care for the outdoors? Maybe this is an obvious answer, but I'm curious to get your take.
So this is unrelated to my thesis because I didn't like explore like, what is it? Is it the mileage? No, I think that just like when you spend so much time outside and you come to like depend on your water sources and I don't know, you're just like much more in tune with your environment and you do care more.
Yeah.
You care more because you're not separated from it.
Totally. I mean, I think all three of us can resonate with that.
Yeah.
I was curious if your research had any sort of, you know, light bulb.
No. I think it's pretty much just exactly what everyone told me in their interviews was just like, okay, like we're a part of this now. And, mm-hmm. You know?
Okay. So I'm curious how this translates for you. How does this make you more passionate about your next venture after the high route? I know you've got a lot of adventures ahead of you, but I'm curious, like what's the big picture for you?
So I am really looking to work in outdoor education. So hopefully, I don't know.
I mean, you're 23 well, years old. You better have it all figured out.
Okay, I mean, I'm waiting to hear back from Jobber now.
my climbing partner that I climb with in Denver, she's works in outdoor education. Yeah. And she was telling me they're always hiring at a certain point of year. So when you graduate, I could put you in touch with her.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, she posts pictures all the time. They're always like out on hikes with the kids and like taking them up to Alaska and like doing all kinds of crazy things.
What's the organization?
I don't know the name of it.
We'll put it in the show notes.
But she's really into geology.
Okay, so well, there's that then.
That's
just Google geology.
Yeah, and then you'll get to friend. Yes.
And we'll find it.
I'm full of useful information.
Totally. Do you have anything else you wanted to add to that before I shift gears a little bit?
Oh, no, that's fine. I mean, outdoor ed is like a really broad field. Yeah. So I'll, you know, try out some things and see where it takes me.
Sure. You're young. You got a lot of mistakes to make. So you mentioned that on your Colorado hike, your Colorado Trail hike, that your gear was really heavy. I would not categorize that to be true of your PCT hike. Tell us a little bit about your setup out there.
Yeah. Okay. So I just went straight from like a traditional setup to a lightweight one. And that's just not because I had experience with it before, but because I spent a lot of time talking to long distance hikers trying to like prepare. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I had a 40-liter pack and I had a tarp instead of a tent and I set it up with my trekking poles and I actually went stoveless. Because one of my friends convinced me to. I mean, I started off with a stove and, you know, because like initially I couldn't fathom. I was like, well, people must really hate themselves if they're going to go stoveless. And then I realized, wait, it's actually so much nicer to just get to camp and like not have to like deal with cooking. It's like it's a convenience thing. I would so much rather just have food.
This might sound like the world's stupidest question, but what do vegans eat with a stove besides like plain pasta?
Oh, I mean, you can like just the idea of hot food. Or like, I don't know.
What would you cook if you had a stove?
You could have like hot rice instead of cold rice, or like hot ramen instead of cold ramen.
just different temperatures. The same thing.
That was
a hard decision for you to leave the stove at home.
So were you cold soaking all of your meals then, or your dinners?
Yeah, after Whisper showed me how it's done. Yeah.
What were you using to cold soak?
Like my jar.
Yeah.
Well, I went and I bought a thing of Talenti, but like the sorbet though.
Yeah.
And ate the whole thing and then.
Sure.
I've seen that the Talenti jars.
Yeah. I was gonna say,
no, yeah, they're really good.
That seems to be the go to. I feel like once upon a time it was peanut butter jars, but I think Talenti.
Okay, but the thing about peanut butter jars though is that they keep the peanut butter inside of them for a long time.
So point peanut butter jars next. I really like peanut butter to like a disgusting degree.
No, I love peanut butter too.
And I want it in everything. Mac
Zach's
and cheese.
Like a dog. You hand him an empty peanut butter jar and he's occupied for hours.
You spread it anywhere in your body and I swear to God. All right.
I don't know.
So you went from what you said, like a 40-pound base weight on the Colorado Trail to you were a tarp, 40-liter pack. You also had a bivy.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I used trail runners instead of boots, you know. I don't know. What else did I do?
Do you know what your base weight was on the PCT?
Oh, man. I really don't. Like, I waited at the beginning and then changed a lot of my gear.
Yeah.
Like, at the beginning, it was like 12, 13. And then I just, like, lost or gained. And that was without a bear can, so I don't know.
Yeah. You stop caring, don't you? Because it's like, I'm carrying this anyway. It's lighter than this other thing. The number doesn't actually.
Yeah, you were one of the few people that I camped with on trail that were doing the tarp setup. So kudos to you on that. I always like, I like the idea of the tarp setup. I like the idea of getting lighter, but, the few nights I cowboy camped, I just slept like shit. Like the idea of bugs being around, I know you can get a bug net. I know I am aware of all these setups. It's just like, I also like the convenience of a tent.
Yeah.
One step.
I feel like for me, like a tent is less like keep out the rain and more like keep out everything else.
Just have a cocoon,
you know, like when I cowboy camp, it's like, I'm, you know, I would do it in the desert because there was like nothing that would like probably come up besides like a snake or something.
Or scorpion.
Yeah. Besides all the obvious
or
things.
Or a cougar.
Whereas when we started putting up our tents, it was like the mosquitoes or like, you know, you were in areas that had a lot of deer that were trying to eat all your stuff at night. And it was just like, that's why I don't get the tarp because you have the tent minus all the useful parts of the tent.
Well, let me steal Dirt Squirrel's line because she's going to tell us that she had a bivy, which pretty much does almost the exact same thing. Like it is protection.
You said she started with a tarp.
She did, but a bivy in conjunction with tarp.
For bugs.
Okay. What about like other things that would come get you in the night?
You know, obviously the boogeyman.
Yeah.
What did you do about the boogeyman? What was the boogeyman situation like for you?
I mean, if you set up a circle of rocks around your tarp, he's not coming near there.
Damn, she's got an answer for everything.
I've heard boogeymen don't eat vegans.
It's they don't have the same nutrition
they don't
level.
Taste as good.
Yeah, yeah, no, you need to be you need to be a carnivore to be.
Is that are vegan jokes offensive?
Usually not. No, because you don't mean them in an offensive way.
Okay, I don't know if I'm just sitting here spouting out vegan jokes.
Like
this asshole.
Okay, hold on. So my first day on trail, I made it to Lake Morena, and some dude. Okay, sorry, I'm about to get really sassy.
Let's do it.
Some dude.
Bring up the sass, girl.
He got there in 2 days, and he asked me if I was going to be okay. Mm. That bothers me.
Yeah.
But that's not like a joke. That's like a genuine, just like a misunderstanding. It's just like a.
It's ignorance.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, Jurek set the FKT and the AT eating vegan, so I'm pretty sure you can get by doing it just fine.
I don't know. Yeah. Pretty salty about the guy who said I wasn't a vegan because I was eating buttercream frosting, even though there wasn't butter or cream in it.
Come to Backpacker Radio and we will trigger you.
Oh my God, we're going to sass the bejesus out of you guys right now. Okay, so vegan, I want to talk on that topic as well. So
you mean as opposed to the topic we were just currently talking on, which was also vegan?
Less of the angle of hating people that hate on vegans and more on the logistics of eating vegan on trail. Because I'm sure we've got some prospective hikers that are either vegetarian or vegan that are curious as to how you eat on trail.
Yeah. Okay. So first of all, I think diet is like a very personal thing.
For sure.
So you're not
spouting that anyone should eat vegan, but for people that would like to eat vegan, do you have any recommendations for go-to snacks, meals?
Okay. Well, I dehydrate a lot of food. Mm-hmm. So when I mailed myself food, I had dehydrated it first, and that was like half of my food.
Do you think that's a prerequisite for eating vegan on trail?
No, I don't. Cause you know, when you're buying as you go, you can still do it. It's just like a little bit crappier. Like it's nice to have to be like, okay, like, and I'm going to have chickpeas, mm-hmm. you know, like lentils because I made them.
Like if I was in a store with you and we were about to do the next stretch of a trail, because I don't really, like, you know, like I don't know many vegan options just because I'm sheltered. What would you put in my cart?
Okay. So I know that you guys were just talking about like nutrition and I'm not your girl because I eat like Gushers and
definitely doesn't have to be nutritious.
I have like fruit by the foot. Okay. Like,
we talked about it on like one of the past episodes how I stopped eating anything but chocolate at one point.
Yeah,
on trail.
I know.
So it doesn't
have
to be like healthy.
There was
just
a point
like,
when
I
just wanted plain tortillas, you know?
Right.
Like, I eat frosting, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, I eat like chocolate frosting like on a tortilla.
Oh, that would be
or
good.
Or like potato chips, like Fritos. Those are huge. If you're talking about like actual dinner, instant rice rehydrates really well.
And can you do the north sides or do most of those have butter?
No, I can't. You cannot find little pouches.
Yeah.
Okay. So like instant mashed potatoes, right? I can't have the little pouches because they all have milk in them. So you know, I have to get a box and be like, who wants some of this box?
Yeah.
And no one does.
There'd be so many more options to you if you were just vegetarian. I mean, kudos to you for sticking
to it. No, totally. Yeah. There'd be way more.
It's just challenging.
And sometimes it's a price thing too. Cause you'll get to like this little grocery store, right? And it's like, okay, so there's like a vegan snack bar, but it's way more expensive than the one that just like has milk in it.
Yeah.
And so like, that's just something that it's just like, you have to figure that out, what you're going to do.
But overlapping in our Venn diagrams, I think the obvious thing in the middle is Oreos.
Oreos, yeah. Also, like ramen. Like, I eat ramen. There's one flavor I can have, and I eat it a lot.
What about the packets? Or, like, do the flavoring packets actually have,
all
like, chicken and stuff in them?
Formerly Oriental, now soy sauce.
It depends.
Yeah, I know. But if it's top ramen, then you're good.
Oh, no, because I was going to say, we saw them in a store, and they were, like, the same bag right next to each other, and one said Oriental, and one said soy sauce, and we were like,
so soy sauce, we're good.
Yeah. Okay,
but not Oriental.
Was that helpful at all?
I think there's probably a lot of people that relate to you that don't necessarily want, or they don't need the most nutritious diet. They just want to know, like, how the hell do I eat on trail?
Or there's people like me that are like, I would never do that, probably, but I'm really curious as to how you feed yourself.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, nuts. Nuts are great.
Oh, nuts. That's another one. Huh.
Yeah.
It's like when you look at someone and you're like, quick, think of four letter words. And then like, you have to think of things. No, it was
shit.
There was a quiz I did and it was like, think of five letter words on the spot. Go on.
Saved.
It has to be like the word. You can't do like past tense multiples.
Well, you're just throwing rules at me like now. Apple. After the fact. Yeah.
Go on. Name five of them.
Peach.
Continue.
I'm done.
See, that's me trying to think of vegan foods.
Okay.
Is my enough. Point of that.
I'd like to say that peach is also vegan, so I kind of won in both of those categories.
Every time we say a food is vegan, I'm going in my head and being like, does that come from an animal? And I just do that for peach.
What animal does the peach come from?
So far I've done that with peach, butter.
Yeah. Okay. So we've learned that Chance cannot build anyone's diet.
Yeah.
Unless they're looking to go exclusively chocolate.
Oh, yeah. I could do that.
Yeah.
Case in point, yes, it's interesting because like it's interesting to the people that want to do it themselves, but it's also interesting to the people like me that are just so oblivious that like our minds are just blown.
Veganism. Hashtag veganism.
Hashtag.
So when before we move on, what was your go-to, the meals that you're preparing for yourself? What were they?
Okay, I had a lot of lentils, and just mostly interesting kinds of beans that I could just rehydrate, which is nice. So like, you know, lentils, pinto beans, chickpeas, black beans, sometimes like vegetables. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, we've exhausted the vegan topic. We'll let you off the hot seat now. I do also want to talk, is it hip dysplasia?
Yeah, yes.
Because I think this will be an inspiring story. Because I think a lot of people have chronic injuries and they use that as an excuse for why they can't through hike. But you've been dealing with hip dysplasia forever.
Okay. Well, as far as like chronic injuries go, I'm very fortunate because I figured out that I had hip dysplasia early and I corrected my hips early. And so now my hips work fine.
Gotcha.
So what happens when you have that?
Okay.
What
so. Here we go. I'm 18 years old. I just graduated high school and I was like, oh, I want to go hike the Colorado Trail. But also my hips hurt when I hike. And I knew that I had this genetic thing on my dad's side and they told me that I should get x-rayed for it. And I was like, I'm just going to do that. And I did. And they told me that I had a hip dysplasia in both of my hips, which basically just means that like they're not fully formed. So when you walk, all the weight gets distributed at one point, your cartilage goes. So they were like, all right, well, it's super early on, but you can do this one surgery called a PAO, which will sort of like, we'll break your hip and we'll move it around and then we'll drill it back in and it'll regrow and you'll just like have a fully functioning hip. Or you could just keep doing what you're doing, but you're going to need replacements really early. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to do the first one. And so I did. So I took a year off after high school, which is funny because I didn't think it was a year off. I actually applied for college during that year off. But anyway, and I was spent 8 months on crutches. So because like 4 months for one hip and then 4 months for the other hip. So like the first one was in December of 2013. And then 4 months later, I had the other hip done. And then I went to college right after getting off crutches. But it was, I don't know. It was really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Was it scary to have to do that? Like, is there like a scenario where it's like you get that done and like it doesn't get better?
Okay. So because we caught mine so early on, it was kind of like, okay, we're going to reshape your hips. It's kind of frustrating and I still have a weird time running and I don't know what that's about. Hmm. But no, I mean, it was a really intensive surgery. It was like an 8-hour surgery. Each time and then like a really intensive recovery period. But I mean, I had my screws out 2 years ago. And so now I'm doing much better. Yeah.
Do you notice it when you hike? Like, is there any after effects or anything like that?
Not anymore. I mean, cause like even after I got off crutches, it took me a while to sort of rebuild everything back. And I had sort of like lost all my muscle. And that was hard, but now I think I'm pretty much there. I've got some cool, interesting scars though. So.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Nice.
So you're still in school now. The traditional story for people, the traditional through hiking, you know, path that most people take is they wait until after school to begin their through hiking. I guess you had a different route because you had the access to these grants. And then you also meet people that decided to through hike after high school. Do you have any advice to anyone that's interested in through hiking while they're still in school?
figure out how much time you can take off and when you can take it off. See, because I go to a weird school with like an interesting schedule, so it's really easy for me to just take off months at a time. Mm-hmm. But some people just take off like a semester, and that's like, I don't know, like you just might have to graduate late and then figure out if that's something that you're okay with.
If there's anyone under the age of, 19 listening to the show, I imagine they're asking the question of, what the fuck school did Dirt School go to? Because it sounds like Thru Hiking University. Basically, you get grants to go Thru Hiking.
Oh, that's where we should start.
You get exactly. You get enough months to go do a 2,500-mile hike. So where do you go to school?
I go to Colorado College. But you can also go to like a lot of schools and just take a semester off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't get a Thru Hiking grant.
I don't know.
I don't know. You guys are going to Google it and figure that out. Okay, cool. Well, thank you so much for giving us the run through on all that. Am I forgetting anything else? Tell me another interesting thing.
Another interesting thing.
We didn't record the last one.
Yeah, you can't use the one that you did pre-recording.
No, I mean, I'm definitely not going to talk about parrotfish right now.
The people are dying to know.
Yeah. You'll have to be at the next live recording to get that sort of info. Uh-huh.
An interesting thing.
About you, about life, about anything.
Oh, man.
Think of a 5-letter word. I'm just kidding. Just how much
5-letter words are really hard to think of. Hey, squid, that's a good one.
Ooh. She's much better at words than we are, though.
She's really good at words. That lexicon.
She's got the best words.
Those words are the goodest. I'm looking at my water bottle, seeing if any of them have 5-letter words.
Can I read the note that you typed in here about that?
Yeah.
Juliana typed, when I complimented your lexicon, Juliana was like, I just Googled what lexicon meant.
But also when you told me that you got one hip fix and then the other hip fix, I looked down and tried to count my hips.
So but what about your third hip?
So then I wrote another comment that said, am I making any sense with anything I'm saying during this episode? Because I feel like I'm just on one.
Let the record show that Chance is also the only one who is not drinking right now.
But I shouldn't. If I have to count my own hips.
Yeah, no, it's you're doing the right thing.
Take it away.
Okay. Well, we'll let you off the hot seat. If an interesting thing comes to you in the midst of this episode, just interrupt us and blurt it out.
Oh, man. Okay.
Okay. You've got that caveat. Okay. So the next thing I want to talk about, the one thing that all of us have in common is the PCT, right? We published an article on the Trek. I want to say this was toward the end of February. So this is a little bit older, but this one is evergreen. I think this is a really good article and a very important article, like one of the few articles that I think maybe everyone on Earth should read. And the title of it is The Best Restaurants on the Pacific Crest Trail. So I'd like for us to go around the table and individually state our, maybe not our favorite restaurants, but our favorite restaurant moment.
I feel like these are things I should get a heads up for. I'm like scrolling through it trying to remember the restaurants.
Well, I did send you the show notes at about 3 p.m. this afternoon. So we'll start off with Dirt Squirrel here.
Oh, man. Okay. I really like that food truck at White's Pass. Was it?
Are you thinking of
No, it wasn't.
At Snoqualmie, right?
Yes, it was Snoqualmie.
The Aardvark Express or something?
Is that what it was called?
I think it's actually on the list. Aardvark Express at Snoqualmie Pass. Mm-hmm, yeah. Yep.
They were nice there.
What? Out of curiosity, what's the vegan option there?
You can have like a mushroom sandwich or like a burger or something. But it's just like a large portobello.
Yeah. That actually sounds pretty good.
They were really nice there too because they're like right outside the Chevron. And I guess the Chevron doesn't let hikers just come in and fill up their water bottles.
Interesting.
So the owner of the Aardvark would go over to the Chevron and fill gallons of water and bring it back as like a protest and like put it on the counter and give it to us.
That's amazing.
And like one of his employees at first was like, oh, sorry, we don't have water because I asked if I could fill up. And he came out and he was like, no, we do. Give them this. And he pulled out the jugs. He's like, these are there for them.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's nice.
I don't know if I met the owner, but whoever was working the food truck was awesome.
I got lucky a bunch of times with meeting people that own things.
Apparently. You're all over the place. Correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't there a free something for the hikers at the Aardvark? I feel like I got a free beer. Is that true?
Oh, I got a free beer. Yeah. I thought it was just like a magic thing, right. But maybe it's just...
I think it's pretty well known. I remember reading that in Guthook's notes. If you're still searching for yours, I can...
No, I've got two.
Okay, go.
The first one, I'm going to agree with this and say Stehekin, the bakery. When I got really sick again. I had like some type of stomach bug and any food I was eating, I was throwing up. and I had gone into Stehekin and I had gotten these like jalapeno cheese bagels because I was like, oh, I'll put my sandwich stuff on them and eat that. And I got sick when I left, and it sucks. It was like the last stretch too, but basically all I would eat was these bagels plain, and they were so good. And I ran out of them on the second day after that being all I would eat, and I was so upset that I didn't buy two bags. Such good food.
The food is out of control. I'm a little bit upset because he took mine. And it's, I mean, maybe that's low-hanging fruit because it is number one on this list.
Yeah, I can give you my second one.
I would like to hear it.
Okay. My second one's not on the list, and it's not really on the way.
Okay.
But I know this one because I lived right outside Sierra City for a while working at a summer camp. And I saw Bassett Station on a list of places that were like food places on the PCT. I can't remember who posted it, but it was at the place not to go to.
Wait, are you reading through hiking websites? It's not the trek?
This was when I was prepping for my hike, so I didn't know you yet.
Still fired. Still very fired.
I'm an exclusive Trekkie now.
Okay, good.
Anyway.
I've like China. I've censored all of your websites.
Yes.
It's either the trek or poopstories.net.
Anyway, they said you shouldn't go to Bassett's because everything there is overpriced, which to be fair is true. Like a box of Oreos is way too expensive. It's just like a little mini mart gas station. But they make milkshakes at Bassett Station. Hmm. And the milkshakes they make are so good. So if you're in Sierra City and you want to hitch like 5 minutes up the road on the 49, I definitely recommend going to Bassett's and getting a milkshake. They are so good.
You want to know how I know you lived in California?
How?
You called it the 49.
Yeah, that's the 49.
Okay, name a iconic highway in New York.
The 17.
Do they call it the 17 out there?
I don't know.
Or are you just applying your California?
Do they have formal names?
Well, that's specifically a California thing to do, is to add a the to the highways. Because you don't, like, it's 70 out here. It's not the 70. Yeah.
Really?
25.
I take the I-25 and then 36 to work.
Do you say it like that?
Yeah.
The I-25?
I don't say I take I-20. Oh, shit. That does make sense.
Yeah. It makes more sense.
Okay. Something's wrong.
Well, you did start off the episode with Moab, so we'll just continue the trend of John saying things incorrectly. But backtracking. So I'm curious what like separates a phenomenal milkshake from just a really good, because isn't it just two ingredients?
They don't skimp out, is it? Mm. You know, like they are giving you hearty spoonfuls of ice cream and then like filling up the cup so much that like the lid might not go on all the way.
I like that.
And then they like spend extra time having it in the little blendy thing.
Yeah.
And they look at it and they're like, eh, I'll give it another minute.
Mm.
And so it's not like super thick. You can drink it with a straw, but yeah, it's not super liquidy. And they'll mix flavors for you at Bassett's.
You're actually making me incredibly hungry right now.
Like, I used to get a chocolate milkshake there, but then I really liked the cookies and cream milkshake.
Yeah.
And then they were like, you know that, like, we could just give you half of each. Oof. They didn't have to say that.
All right. I'm sold. Say the name of this place again.
Bassett Station. We're going to link to them.
Okay.
And here's a fun thing about Bassett's, yeah, now that we're reminiscing. They have a weather cam attached to them. So if you go on their website, you can see what the weather is like every day. Like every hour.
And this is not in Sierra City proper?
It's technically Sierra City.
Okay.
It's just like up the road. So it's not like where the county store and stuff is. It's just, it's where the road segues, where you would go to get to the Sierra Buttes.
Hmm. Speaking of Sierra City, so the general store is on the list here. And I would say very deservedly so. Did you guys, I'm sure you've eaten there 100 times. I'm sure.
I've never been. Every time I've gone to Bassett's.
Oof. So we don't. Your entry is probably invalid because the Sierra City General Store could be every bit as good.
I didn't say it wasn't. Yeah. I just said that one of my personal faves.
Well,
is one that has a bad rep.
Sierra City General Store is number. Where are we? Is it on this list?
I think I scrolled past it, which is how I thought of Bassett's.
Oh, it's number 11.
You have lists on your articles that don't stop at 10?
Yeah.
What?
The author, Silent Bob, who did a great job with this, was going to stop at 10. I'm like, you know what? I'm very fat. I demand that this list be bigger than 10. So he met me halfway and we're at 14. Actually, number 14 is a restaurant that we talked about.
Is 14 halfway between 10 and bigger?
Yeah. It's the official midpoint between please give me more food and 10. Everyone knows that.
Anyway.
Pine Shack Frosty. We talked about this one.
Yes.
I'm going to reach out to them this week and try to encourage them to come up with an official halfway package for through hikers. That would be awesome, right?
Yeah. I don't see why not.
Dirt Squirrel, I don't think this would be up your alley, but they've got a very good half-pound burger there. I think there might be meat in that. But there's also dairy in the ice cream, which is also very good. Number 13 is, so we were in Bishop together. This was where you ended your through hike. Quick tangent. How did it feel to end at not a terminus?
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah.
Because it was just like my little moment and nobody else knew about it.
I knew about it.
Well, yeah. I mean, you did, but you also finished a day before me at the exact – we had the same day.
Yeah.
But just
– where we both slept in an outhouse.
Yeah. I actually slept in the same one as you, I believe.
Yep. I christened it for you. I might have cleared out a few spider webs for you because the idea of sleeping enclosed with spiders was not all that appealing to me because I'm a big baby because I got West Nile virus. Don't look at me like that, Jones.
No comment.
Anyways.
Yeah. No, I loved it. It was like, well – I saw Ray Lakes and I started sobbing, which I was not prepared for because I thought that would happen at Kearsarge. But Ray Lakes is where I actually finished because we bailed back over Kearsarge. And so I got to Ray Lakes and I was like, yeah. And this guy was like, are you okay? And I was like, I finished hiking so much. and then it was like, I like had my little moment and he took a picture of me because I asked him to. And then, and then I just like hiked the rest of the way out. And it's like after I had my moment, it was just like I had this shift and I felt like I was just sort of like finishing a weekend hike. Mm. Like it really, it felt like this was not part of the trail anymore. Mm. It was like, okay. And like now I'm just like a section hiker. Or I don't even know if section hiker is the right word. It was just like, oh, like now I'm just like finishing this other thing.
Yeah.
We thought that the night we camped right before the northern terminus, we were like, when we wake up tomorrow morning, we're going to be day hikers. Because that hike, that's what deep. We do, will just be for a day.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it felt like day hiker.
Crazy.
Yeah. So you don't feel like you missed out not ending touching?
No, I really don't. I loved it. It was mine.
Yeah.
You know? It was like...
Especially you got metaphorically punched in the mouth like a day before finishing.
Sorry?
With the weather?
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, my God. My last night on the trail was my worst night on the trail.
You mean weather-wise or just in general?
I was so cold.
Yeah.
It was like we were crazy and socked in. And so then I was only able to go up and over Mather that day. And then I camped between Mather and Pinchot and was so cold that I threw up my lentils.
Whoa.
And
I was like, you gotta be cold
to do
that.
There's 30 miles left and I'm doing them all in the morning. And so I woke up really early and like went. Yeah. And luckily it was nice the rest of the day.
Yeah.
They were cold soaked.
It was like a little frozen and I was like, I can't do this anymore. Even though I loved my hike, you know, sometimes that happens.
I will give Viking credit because as we were going through that, I was not so much enjoying the same storm is what I'm referring to. For reference, this was in pretty much the middle of the Sierra, just like a freak snowstorm came through. I think it got up to like 4 inches of snow in spots, maybe a half foot. Definitely, you know, at that elevation, it was in the teens, like whiteout conditions, very like the wind was intense. And I was not loving it. And this was pretty much your last day on trail, your last full day on trail. And at that time I was, you know, it's nerve wracking being at 12,000 feet in those conditions, like not being able to see the trail. I had to let Java lead because I couldn't actually follow the trail. He's like a bloodhound. He has a sixth sense for it. But you know, once we got past that, once we got into Lone Pine, we got a mimosa, you know, the type two fun really starts to settle in. It's
yeah.
Like you realize what you had made it through. Just, you know, you feel much more accomplished going through something like that. So I can't imagine having that be your last full day on trail. Like that's a hell of a way.
Well, it was just crazy because there were all of these like weekend hikers passing me who were just like really building my self-doubt because they were like, I can't believe you're still here. Like you need to turn around,
yeah.
You know? And like, I looked at my Delorme and it said 3 days of snowing and it won't let up,
uh-huh.
You know? And you're like, oh my God, I'm 40 miles from the end. And I can't believe that I'm wondering whether or not I'm going to be able to finish, mm-hmm. you know? Like, that's stressful.
I did not plan this at all, but it hasn't been too many episodes where it's been just me and the ladies. But I'm curious, did you get a lot of comments from, like, day hikers or section, or maybe even other thru hikers about, like, demeaning your ability, like, you know, concern for your safety?
Oh, yeah, like, trying to be a compliment, but really just like, you're so brave.
Sure.
And you're like, well, we're doing the same thing.
Right. Or not, I'm not even talking about from other thru hikers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because a lot of the girls I've talked to, it's been mostly from section hikers.
Yeah, it was like section hikers, but I still feel like we're doing a similar thing. Yeah, I mean, I've had people be like, how do you make a turn without knowing what's on the other side of it? Uh-huh. It's like, how do you, like, answer that question? Like, what, we're doing the same thing.
Yeah. Do you think you got more of that because you're a female, or do you think people
are
just...
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Okay, so this is why I liked hiking with Whisper, because she was, you know, like, one time we were... one time we were at this... there was, like, a trail angel who, like, had some chairs, and she went to offer her chair to someone, because we'd been sitting for a while, who was just hiking through, because he had just gotten there, and he was like, I can't take that seat, because you're a girl. You know? It's like, no, I mean, it's quite literal. Like, yeah. But also, like, that being said, I mean, I think thru hiking is the most empowering, fun thing in the world. So,
yeah, sure.
I definitely experience sexism always.
Yeah.
Not more so out there.
I think it's more from the people that are off trail watching you be on trail. Because, I mean, I'm trying to find an example right now, but, like, even just on the YouTube, like, there were loads of comments I would get that were, like, meant as a compliment, but, like... It's so impressive that you can keep up with a group of guys. It's so impressive that you're hiking with a group of guys that they must be, like, you know, accommodating to you so that you can keep up, or like that they're willing to, like, hold back while you keep up. Yeah. And it's like, I wake up 2 hours earlier, I get to bed 2 hours later than they do. I sound like a beaten record with that one, but like, it's just, it's interesting.
Wait, did you
how people,
the AT?
Not yet. But it's very interesting how people off trail will look at it on trail and be like, you know, oh, that's so cool that you can keep up with the guys.
Yeah. For those people that say stuff like that, I would encourage you to Google the names Jennifer Farr Davis and Heather Anish Anderson. But yeah. Okay. So I'm curious, did you get more of that chance, from people in town, or does that happen more?
It was more, it was the internet.
Online?
It was the internet. And it was funny because, like, I would comment back, like, actually, like, this is what I do to keep up. It has nothing to do with them not pushing themselves for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, there'd be comments back like, oh, I knew you'd take that the wrong way.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, then maybe something was wrong with what you were saying and the way you were wording it if you knew I would take it the wrong way.
Sure.
You know? It was never on trail, and it was never from other hikers.
Yeah.
It was always the people off trail watching that were like, wow, that's amazing that can happen. Something must be going on for that to work.
Sure.
Mm. I don't know. So, like, on the Colorado Trail, I was hiking with two other people. One was guy, one was girl. He had to leave a little bit early, and so I did, like, the last few days with just her. And I mean, it was like the whole vibe around how people interacted with us totally changed, because it went from like, oh, what a fun adventure, to like, you two are so brave. Like, I heard the word brave for the first time and then so many times.
Yeah.
So it was different for you when you were hiking with the guy than when you were hiking with just another girl.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. And are these the same people that were interacting with you when you were with the guy?
Oh, no. These are like day hikers.
Oh,
so this
okay.
I'm not talking about thru hikers anymore.
Okay. So this wasn't thru hikers.
No. And I honestly, I don't know. Thru hikers are pretty solid crew. But I mean, I think just like anyone, like a somewhat sexist person who doesn't know it can also be a thru hiker.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's obviously exceptions to everything. So that's, I mean, it's just interesting to hear other perspectives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think it's generally a very positive community.
Yeah, I do too.
Do either of you have any words of wisdom for females looking to take on a thru hike solo? Advice, or maybe, you know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but should they be concerned going into the trail?
I actually just gave this the other night on Friday. I had a girl that messaged me. I almost lived with her when I first moved to Denver. We met on like the Denver roommates page, but I guess now she's considering hiking the PCT and like wanted to ask someone who had been on trail about it. And she was really concerned when I first met her about how it would be hiking by herself. And I mean, I just told her in my experience, basically I never felt like unsafe or anything because of other people on trail. Like every other thru hiker, I felt totally fine with. I could roll up to a tent site and there'd be a tent up and, you know, someone who was male and 60 cooking food, or, you know, someone who was my age and a girl, or someone in their 30s, or a group of guys or a group of girls, and everything just kind of felt to me like the same vibe. I wasn't like, oh, should I hike farther, or oh, should I not stop here? I never got that feeling.
The threats were not from other people.
Yeah. Yeah, it was more the boogeyman that I had to put the rock circle up for.
That's what the rocks are for.
Yes.
Everybody knows that.
Yes. So what would your advice be, Dirt Swirl?
I don't know. Just like, do you. Seriously. Do you. If you don't like the people you're with, just leave them.
Yeah.
And then if you do, I don't know, just.
But you don't think that it's something that they should be concerned about?
No. And honestly, okay, I can only speak for the PCT.
Right.
Because that's the only trail that I've done solo.
I mean, same.
But
wait, not solo, but same, only trail I've done. Continue.
Yeah, I mean, I guess sections of it. So I didn't do the whole thing solo because I made friends. But like, yeah, I don't know. Just
that's what I was trying to tell her too.
It's a really strong community.
Yeah,
people look out for each other, and you know where everyone is. People keep tabs on each other. You hear about when someone got off trail. You hear about when someone is taking care of their foot somewhere, and then you see them later, and you're like, your foot's better.
Yeah,
and that's, I mean, everybody's looking out for one another, and that's what I
was
telling
her as well, because she was concerned, like how you said you hiked alone for a while, but then you found friends. She was concerned that, you know, she would hike and she just wouldn't see people and she wouldn't make any friends. And I told her that, like, she would genuinely be having to go out of her way for that to happen. Because, in the desert alone, so many people start at the same time. You know, you're just in such a herd that you have to go out of your way to not camp with other people and to not spend time getting to know other people in the community.
Do you guys know how many people started the same day as you?
I don't know about the entire day, but in my group with Scout and Frodo, we had, I think, 18 to 21 people left that day.
I don't remember. I mean, I also stayed at Scout and Photos and had like 20 people.
Yeah. So the PCTA limits the permits to 50 people per day. And I think during like the hot part of the season, that gets maxed out pretty much every single day. So you're
And I told you that is like, if they max out the permits and they have permits, it's because there's a lot of people starting on those days. So you're going to be seeing people.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, you'll be hard pressed to find alone time. So number 12, Alabama Hills Bakery and Cafe in Lone Pine. Any reference? No.
Did we already go through 1 to 11?
We're going backwards. We're starting at 14.
Oh, okay. This makes so much more sense now.
This is what started our initial tangent.
I got brunch at Alabama Hills.
I think I actually went there too.
That's probably where you had your mimosa.
They've got like mountain, like the peak art on the wall?
Maybe. Oof. I pretty much blacked out most of Lone Pine for scared of going further reasons.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But I'm sure they had peaks on the walls.
I just remember, I want to say it was like.
I feel like it was red. Okay. It was red.
We'll move on from that one. So I skipped over 13. This was what originally started the tangent was Eric Schatz Bakery in Bishop, which is where we hung out, but we did not go there. We went to a different bakery. Did you go to Bishop at all?
Hitchhiking through.
Okay. You lived in Sierra City and you hadn't spent like other time in Bishop?
Every time I went through Bishop was on a road trip, and it was always like incredibly hot in Bishop. So I just associated it with like hell.
Mm.
So when I saw that Bishop was on the route, I was like, I need to not go there.
Gotcha.
So I don't really know.
Yeah. It's an awesome town.
Yeah.
Really, really enjoyed.
I mean, from what I've seen editing that video is that the hostel looks like it's really fun.
Yeah. That was the one, you know, southbounding, talking to a lot of northbounders. I got the vantage point of picking the brain a lot, and one of the questions I like to ask is, what's your favorite town? And Bishop was the one that came up by far and away the most.
I can see that.
Bishop is very cool. I did not go to the bakery, but I've heard really good things about it. I think we were planning on going to it and we didn't because the line was too long. Does that sound familiar? No.
This is a really good conversation. This is so enticing.
Number 11 is the Sierra County store. I ate there. Food is awesome. Number 10 is the Siad Valley Cafe. That's the place with the pancake challenge.
Chocolate balls. I didn't do that, but somebody did pay for my breakfast, which was very nice.
Mm. Oh, that is nice. Chocolate balls did the pancake challenge, and he got nowhere near close to putting a dent into it, which meant that we all got pancakes.
I actually don't think I've heard of anyone finishing this. So if you have finished this and you've got some sort of evidence.
If you see them in front of, if you see them in person, you understand why you don't hear of people finishing it.
It was close when we went through it. I would have tried it. I'm sure I would have failed, but I would have tried it and you guys could have laughed at my failure. Number 9 is actually, this is one of probably in my top 3 personally, is Thunder Island Brewing Company in Cascade Locks.
They do the really cool thing with their trail magic.
Where they pay the drink forward thing?
Yeah, but they give them a coaster to write when they buy the drink for a hiker. Because you can go to the brewery and you can buy a drink for a through hiker, and then they give you a coaster and you can write a note on the coaster and they put it in like a thing that you, as a hiker, go in and pull one out.
Right.
So you're just randomly pulling one out and there's just a message on there for you.
Yeah.
Mm. And it's really cool because it's like a nice word of encouragement from a stranger, and then you get a free beer. And I thought that was really nice. I still have mine.
That does jog my memory. I just remember really liking the atmosphere there. It's like right off the river. The food is awesome. The beer's really good. Definitely. If you are in Cascade Locks, definitely go to Thunder Island. Number 8 is the Cascade Locks Ale House. I can understand why this made the list. It's definitely a thru hiker staple. There's a free beer there as well. But the fact that this is ahead of Thunder Island, I think, is asinine, in my personal
opinion. I didn't even go to Cascade Locks Ale House. Yeah. I was too busy at Thunder Island.
Yeah. Well played. If you had to pick between the... And this is not me shitting on Cascade Locks Ale House.
Yeah, I can't talk for them.
Very friendly service. I enjoyed my time there, but Thunder Island's better. 7, Callahan's Lodge. I'm sure you guys went to Callahan's.
Yeah. I actually didn't. It sounds familiar. Where is it?
This is in Ashland. The place is kind of like on the outskirts of town. I think they allow free camping for PCT hikers. There's a free something.
No, I didn't go. I went to the Ashland hostel though.
Gotcha.
I just didn't go to Ashland.
You skipped Ashland. Wow.
I had enough food and I was like,
Ashland's expensive.
That was right around when I'd been skipping for so many fires and I just didn't want to get off trail again. I just wanted to keep going.
Yeah.
So yeah,
we had Ashland's expensive to stay in. Like we stayed in the hostel and then the next day we like went to Medford because we were like, we need something trashier than this. Mm. It's too nice for us.
It is easier to do as a southbounder because you still have a lot of your budget ahead of you.
Yeah.
You're toward the end of yours.
Once you're Nobo, you're like, it's $25 a person for the hostel.
Yeah.
Okay. Drive us to the Motel 6, please.
Yeah. I'm actually surprised this made the list. The food was good, but there's so much good food in Ashland. I think this probably made the list just because it's so popular. And there is a free something here too. I think it also
it's a beer. A
free beer.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to be a theme.
They know what we like.
Yeah. But the breakfast is really good. I can attest to that. Number 6 was JJ's Cafe in Old Station. You were underwhelmed?
Yeah. I mean, the food was good. It was really crowded. They really hyped having Wi-Fi, but their Wi-Fi was like slow to the point that I couldn't even post an Instagram.
How dare they?
But like you like go in and you sit down and you order food for this Wi-Fi and then you're sitting there and you're just like, I can't even use it.
Mm.
That kind of like is the whole purpose of stopping an Old Station if you don't need to get food, because you could just go another 30 miles to Bernie and get Safeway.
Yeah, but when you're fat like me, you take every restaurant opportunity.
Yeah, but the food itself wasn't worth it in my mind.
I did stop there and I'm trying to think, the meal's not standing out to me. So maybe
that's a testament
to what you're saying. Number 5, I think I need to add like a womp womp sound effect to this one, because I think it's either under new ownership or it's closed down, is Carmen's Garden.
Oh, it's not closed. Is it closed yet? I saw that she sold it.
No, it's new ownership.
But I think they still got the same instructions from her that are like, you take care of the hikers.
Oh, really? We'll have to fact check this one. Yeah. Carmen is Miss Janet level trail angel, in my opinion.
Who's Miss Janet?
This is a AT reference. So I don't know if you know this, but in 2011, I hiked the Appalachian Trail.
Stop it. No, you didn't.
It's true story.
Really?
And there's one trail legend that is just very legendary. Bad choice of adjective there. But Miss Janet.
Zach's got a very good lexicon.
That is the word. Should I Google it? I'm going to go as far as to say as Carmen is the Miss Janet of the AT. And I don't know how many hikers she's touched, because that's what I think makes Miss Janet larger than life. Because every AT hiker knows Miss Janet. But Carmen
has got the biggest heart. I don't know how she's so nice.
She's so nice. At the time,
like, we went and we were intent. We were still in that like first 100 miles where we were like, we're not going to stay in town. We're going to go out of town. And so we were staying at the Stagecoach RV place because it was just cheap. And we forgot to buy laundry detergent, and we were at Carmen's eating, and we were like, shoot, like, do you think maybe she would lend us like just enough for a load? And we like kind of went up to her and we're like, hey Carmen, like, do you think that like we could borrow some? And she brought us a whole bottle of it, and we were like, oh, that's like, we just need a little bit. And she was like, no, leave it there, that way if any other hikers need it. And it was just like, you didn't have to do that, and that was so nice.
Yeah, no, she's wonderful.
Plus, she just got that like warm feeling to her. She's that, like, you'd want to hug.
Totally. The most huggable person on trail, easily. Do you have any Carmen interactions?
I just remember it was like, I don't know, day four, day five, maybe? Mm-hmm. And just like walking in, and there just being this massive sign that was like closed except for the hiker trash, and just feeling so incredibly welcome. And it was just, I walked in, the floor was just covered and just people just sleeping. I don't know. Yeah, she was wonderful.
Yeah.
And she also just created this like fantastic little community where I was like started to get to know people, you know, early on.
That sign, I don't know if you saw it on the Facebook page this summer, but that sign that she has that says closed when they're closed, and then there's the thing underneath it that says except for hiker trash.
Yeah.
I guess they hired, I was laughing when I was on trail and I read this post, I guess they hired a new server that like didn't really know like the whole hiker thing yet. Mm-hmm. And for a while, I guess the sign had said open except for hiker trash. And I guess Carmen realized and like posted the picture on Facebook and was like, sorry for anyone that didn't stop it.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's wonderful. Jabla and I also crashed on the floor of her restaurant. Got a free burger, fries. She picked us up from the trail.
See, I wish I knew that. I heard that it wasn't allowed anymore, but it was.
Yeah, I think she was making an I think because it was really slow southbound season. So I think she sold the place. So I'm not even sure.
She
this,
did.
We're, yeah, this is yeah. a relic that we're According talking about now. Yeah.
I pretend I know.
Yeah. So 2017 was a monumental year just because it was Carmen's last owning that restaurant.
Mm-hmm. But
good vibes there for sure. Number four is Aardvark Express, which we talked about at Snoqualmie Pass. I also very much enjoyed that. Three, Paradise Valley Cafe. I'm going to say it. I think it's a little bit overhyped. I think it's popular just because of its location.
Yeah, I think it's – I mean, if you were to compare the food to other food, like, it's not as
There's nothing good as other
places,
it.
But it's, like, one of the first places where you get to sit down and have that meal.
Totally. So this
So you kind of want it more.
This list was generated – partially due to like editor's choice and partially due to a poll. I think it ranked highly from the poll factor because this is probably one of the most popular restaurants amongst thru hikers, if not the most popular, just because based on its location, it's on the trail, it's further south, so fewer people have gotten off, yada, yada, yada. The food was fine, but I didn't think it was anything spectacular.
Yeah, I just remember I was sore at that point, so I needed it.
Yeah.
When I got there, I was really happy.
Number two, and I'm actually surprised that none of us have mentioned this, at least in this episode, is Timberline Lodge.
Ah!
That's the correct noise. That is the exact Timberline Lodge sound. So that's where Chance and I actually crossed paths on trail. Job and I got there for the lunch, which apparently is second rate compared to the breakfast or the brunch. But even the lunch was phenomenal. I was not disappointed whatsoever. Any scouting reports on the breakfast?
No, I had lunch.
I mentioned in the, I think it was one of Vikings episodes, that I didn't take advantage of I get really full really fast. Mm. So I don't do well at buffets. Mm. So I don't usually like buffets too much because I don't take advantage of it the way that other people do.
They let you take a box though. They let you eat what you want and then take a box.
Interesting.
At least they let me take a box.
I was going to say, I did not get that
They
treatment.
Let me take a box.
Yeah. I was sitting at the table with a Yeti. So
they were probably looking at it like, oh, it's just rice. We'll give it to her.
So that might be an example where it's actually a benefit to be a female on trail. Because Jabba and I did not get a box.
I was with Pretty Boy and Orion at this time, and all got boxes.
I guess, they're both much more polite than we are, so fair enough.
I can tell you, in Medford, they wanted to go to a buffet. And I talked the person at the buffet into letting me have the kid price for the buffet because I was like, you don't understand. I can't eat a lot. I get full. And she was like, all right, take your kid price.
Stop crying, lady. number one, probably comes as no surprise, is this Tahikan Pastry Company.
Yum.
That place is magical.
If you're listening to this, please mail us bagels.
Yeah. I would actually say that this is probably the biggest detractor to being a Southbounder, is you haven't fully formed your hiker hunger yet, and you can't truly take advantage of this Tahikan Brewery, because I think I only spent like $15 there. It's not the cheapest place in the world. I wouldn't say it's crazy expensive either, but, you know, had it been 100 miles away from the southern terminus as opposed to 100 miles away from where we had just started, I think I would have done a lot more damage.
Could do it again, I would Instahican entirely resupply on those bagels.
Did you have a cinnamon roll?
No. I would rephrase. I would entirely resupply from the bakery.
Yeah.
Like everything I bought when I was there, I wish I would have bought times three.
I think all you have to do is go to this post. Google best restaurants on the Pacific Crest Trail. Yeah. This better be at the top. Just the first picture listed under the Tahikan Pastry Company is all you need to know about it.
Oh, yes. It just looks so good. Oof.
All right. I'm out of saliva at
this point. All I can think about is this bagel right now. I don't know if it was even a bagel or if it was like a bun.
Your New York is showing right now.
Oh, so good.
Do you have nostalgia for New York bagels? Are New York bagels a thing outside of New York City?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a place by my house that I took Buzz to when I went home for Christmas. I had been hyping it all trail because I found out that he lives a town away from me. And when I got home from Christmas, for Christmas, I was like, come over. We are going to this bagel place. I'm showing you what good bagels are.
And we're going to go to our favorite segment of the entire show, which is where we pat ourselves in the back by reading our 5-star reviews off of iTunes.
Yeah, buddy. This one, let me tell you, made my day when I got it. It says, for Chauncey, had to give 5 stars after learning that Chauncey also downloads episodes of The Bachelorette in town to watch on trail. Yeah, I do.
There are probably people listening to this throwing up right now.
Yeah, they're like literally unsubscribing.
Yeah.
Don't care.
My fiance is not one of them. She definitely,
she's a fan. Go on, read yours.
The 5-star review that I would like to highlight today is titled My New Addiction.
Uh-huh. That's not the one I thought. We'll end on that one.
Okay. Still not sure if Zach has done the AT or not. So I don't know if you know this, but I hiked the Appalachian Trail in 2011.
Shut up.
Yeah. So I'm still not sure if Zach has done the AT or not. But otherwise fantastic. Has a true backpacker feel and great segments to give it just enough structure, but not lose the conversational freewheeling atmosphere. Awesome interviews. That's you, Dirt Squirrel. And gear recommendations. What's your favorite piece of gear?
Oh.
I feel like food can count as gear for this one.
Mm-mm, no.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely not going to get away with, like, peanut butter.
I was hinting at the fact that we spent a mini eternity on restaurant food.
I loved my backpack.
Which is?
I had a Hyperlite. Actually, I had a Southwest, and I know that a lot of people go for Windrider, but I kind of liked that my pockets didn't fray.
The Southwest is the mesh?
No, it's not the mesh. It's the one that's not the mesh.
Got you. And you saw a lot of people with the Windrider?
I feel like most people have the mesh.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think the mesh has an advantage.
It would expand better.
The one with the mesh or the other?
The mesh, but also it tears sooner.
I also think the advantage to the mesh is if you put wet clothes in there, it'll dry.
Yeah.
But
that's fair. So I'm not sure how I feel about mesh versus no mesh, but also, I mean, that's just like my first lightweight pack and I loved it.
Sure. They're pretty popular on trail.
Where are my shoes?
Was that the end of that review?
No. I lost it though.
Okay. I'll read a new one.
Awesome interviews and gear recommendations. Keep up the great work. That's from Superman D18. Thanks, Superman D18. That's very nice of you. And I did hike the AT.
Okay, I'll read one and then you can finish with the best one.
Okay.
Okay, this one says, thoroughly enjoying, and it's from 8 hours ago. It says, as an aspiring thru hiker about to embark on the PCT, I am loving the podcast. I personally love the banter. Did Zach thru hike the AT? And inside jokes, I think it's pretty funny. I've also been following them both on Instagram since the summer, so that probably helps. Keep putting out good content and bringing in interesting guests. I'll be waiting to listen to new episodes while I'm out on trail.
So, Dirt Squirrel, I don't know if you know this, but I hiked the AT.
When?
2011.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's a fun fact.
You can tell by the enthusiasm that everyone cares.
All right. And the last review, I need your phone.
Oh, yeah. This one's my favorite.
This review is titled The Lone Star Trail. Hello. Let me try that again. Hello. We went to the Patreon page to donate 1 million real dollars to this podcast, but then we heard the episode where you bash the Lone Star Trail. The Lone Star Trail, also known as the Lone Star Hiking Trail, also known as God's Trail, is the premier hiking trail in the nation of Texas. If we had known you were flying into Austin for your bourgeois South by Southwest gathering, we would have hogtied you in the back of a pickup and branded that ginger behind with an LST blaze. That's from the Lone Star Hiking Trail Club. So I think Chance is campaigning to have me branded during the next podcast.
Oh, bonus episode. Let's get drunk. I'll brand you.
I can't wait.
I just picture them like laying on the Lone Star Trail, holding the dirt and crying.
Yeah. That was an excellent burn review, but I stand by everything that I say. It's a horrible trail.
I would just like to make a note that if you leave us 5-star burn reviews, I'll read those probably too.
Yeah. So if you either compliment either one of us or insult either one of us.
All that matters is the 5 stars.
That's very true. We will read it on here.
The funnier, the better chance you got.
And this is where we like to put our guest on the spot and coerce them into giving us a 5-star review on the spot.
Yeah, okay. We are ready for our 5-star review, please.
So we're going to maintain eye contact with you, and you have to give us a 5-star review based on your experience on the show today.
Yes, how great was it?
Wow, so much banter.
Wait, you forgot the part where you start by saying, I really want to give you 5 stars.
If there were 6 stars, you would have earned them.
Mm.
Yes.
I can sense the sincerity.
It's because we came so prepared. We only made you switch locations once.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, I'll allow it. Thanks, Poop Squirrel. That was very
We actually
authentic.
Edited that version. It was really long.
It was
and it
long.
Wouldn't all fit. So this is actually a post-recording where we're just clarifying that we had to take a lot out.
We basically drowned it in compliments.
Mm, yeah. It got intense. And so
I'm very fortunate I brought my snorkel to the recording today. So let's wrap this up. You can support the show on patreon.com/backpackerradio. We are on the social media. At Backpacker Radio on Instagram, at Backpacker Pod on Twitter, and search Backpacker Radio on Facebook. There probably is a URL, but I don't actually know it offhand.
Facebook / Backpacker Radio?
Maybe.
Probably.
Me personally, I'm ZR Davis on Instagram and Twitter. Chance?
You can find me on Instagram at Juliana_Chauncey or on YouTube at just Juliana Chauncey.
Dirt Squirrel. Where can people – what's your social media?
I have a Facebook.
Do you want random internet strangers?
Yeah, sure. Here's the reality, guys. I don't really do social media. Yeah. I know that it, like, harms my abilities to, like, stay in contact with hikers and, like, I don't know. I know that there's, like, some professional advantages to doing it, but I just don't.
Yeah.
I aspire to be more like Dirt Squirrel.
I've been doing the opposite. I've been getting like friend requests for a while on Facebook from people that I don't know, but I could tell are hikers. And at first I would leave them all in limbo because it was like, why do I want to see your stuff? But now I've completely flipped switches and I've just been pressing the accept button like crazy. Because I'm like, I don't care anymore. I never even check my Facebook.
Mm. So you kind of are being more like Dirt Squirrel. Like you have a Facebook in theory, but you don't actually practice Facebook.
Yeah, but I do accept them all now because
that's
I'm like,
all that matters.
I'm going to accept you all and then never look at anything.
Hmm.
Like I have a very stagnant Instagram and people tag me sometimes, but I don't really.
People tag Dirt Squirrel. Dirt Squirrel doesn't tag people.
That's right.
Like I haven't posted. I think I have 3 posts.
She's too busy in a thesaurus building her lexicon, her diction, her vocab. So you can follow Dirt Squirrel on social, but she won't notice because she doesn't ever look at it. So for an upcoming episode, please tell us your worst or most interesting hitchhiking stories. We want to hear from you. Audio submissions are preferred. We will also accept written submissions, and you can send those to podcast@thetrek.co. Dirt Squirrel, thank you so much for coming on. It was awesome to hang out with you again. Thanks for informing us about all the grants, all the veganism, all the just awesomeness that is your life.
I feel like I learned things tonight.
And it's getting loud outside. Perfect timing. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the show. Happy hiking.
Bye.